The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Re'eh. In the Parashah of Re'eh, we have many mitzvahs which deal with the mitzvah, the prohibition of what we call Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, the popular translation, is idol worshipping, but it has a broader translation. It doesn't only prohibit the worship of idols, it prohibits the worship of anything in the world. Anything, any force, any philosophy which is outside of the bounds of the worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. The fact is, the word Avodah Zarah means Avodah Zarah, a worship which is alien to him. Now, this mitzvah, of which there are a great deal of facets, the fact is, there's many, many halachos and an entire mesechta which deals with this. This prohibition is the total antithesis to the Kedushas Yisrael, to the sanctity of Yisrael. The basic sanctification of Klal Yisrael is their emunah b'Hashem, their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, and there are no other powers or forces in the world that are not under him, that are not subservient to him, and ain old milvadei, and there is nothing else in the world which is of an equal force. Everything is under him, and this is the echod. He is one. Echod v'leishnayim. He's one and he's not two. He's one king and there are not two kings. And this is the basic principle of all of the principles by Klal Yisrael. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Yisrael, he revealed himself with the Aleph, Onechi Hashem Elokecha. The Medrash tells us that even though he ate in the world with the second letter in the alphabet, the Beis, Bereishis Bara Elokim, but when he revealed himself to Israel, he revealed himself with the first letter of the alphabet, the Aleph, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, because this is the principle which precedes all principles and even precedes the creation of the world. And therefore, the first and foremost revelation to Israel was Anechi, I am the Lord your God. I am the supreme force and ruler of the world. And lo yelecha elohim acherim al ponai, and you shall not make in my presence, which means at all, any other forces or any other gods. And therefore, to serve other gods, or to believe in other gods or other forces, this is the total antithesis to the sanctification of Klal Yisrael. And that, this is why that this commandment is the primary commandment of all of the commandments. And this is why we find that there is no command in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes so angry over, and there is no command in the Torah, no mitzvah in the Torah, that we find so many chumras, so many severities, whether they are made by the Torah itself or by the sages, that we find as we find by this mitzvah. And the truth of the matter is, this is not a command that was merely given to Klal Yisrael, called by Eilam. This was a command which he gave to all of his creations, to everyone in the world. This is also the principal mitzvah of the seven mitzvahs which were given to the sons of Noach. And this is the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah which places upon Israel and the entire world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, is the king, and therefore it's the source of all of the mitzvahs. Because if you believe and accept in the sovereignty of the king, then the next step is to listen to his mitzvahs. But if you reject the mitzius, if you reject the existence and the sovereignty of the king, then all of the mitzvahs in the Torah become bottle, and all of the mitzvahs are void and worthless. If there is no mitzvah, if there is no king who is commanding, then there are no mitzvahs. And that's why someone who does not keep this mitzvah, whether it's a Yisrael, whether it's a non-Yisrael, this is known as kefir be'ikr, that he is denied not one of the mitzvahs, but he is denying the source of all mitzvahs. All of the mitzvahs, no matter how important they are merely an onuf. They are merely a branch of the tree. This mitzvah, this is the root, the source of the tree. So therefore, when one denies this mitzvah, then all of the mitzvahs become bottle. If one accepts this mitzvah, then automatically there's an acceptance to all of the mitzvahs, because when you believe in the king, so then you are confirming his commands. As we said, that this mitzvah was not given only to Klal Yisrael, it was given to the entire world. However, it is Klal Yisrael's role in the world to keep this principle alive. And this is what the Torah reiterates many, many times. The sages tell us that this mitzvah was born and forgotten from the world. The entire world went astray and started to worship Avodah Zarah one way or the other, until it was forgotten the existence of Hashem. Rambam listed there might have been 2, 3, 4 people in creation that remembered or that kept this mitzvah. Achibah Avraham Avinu, until Avraham came. And Avraham is the one who brought it back to life. And he is the one who exemplified it. And he is the one who centralized it. And he is the one who taught it to the world. And from then on it was entrusted by Klal Yisrael that they should keep this mitzvah alive, where it shall be a milestone. It shall be an objective for the entire world. So therefore this mitzvah has extreme importance. To illustrate this point a little further, at the beginning of our Sedra, it states that today I am placing before you blessing and curse. The bracha is if you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, which I command you. The curse, if you will not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, then it states, and you shall turn away from the path which I have I'm commanding you today, to go after gods of others, which you do not know. Rashi brings from the Sifri, it says, from the fact that it states that you will turn away from the path of the mitzvahs, Olamarito. So from here we learn that once a person turns towards Avodah Zarah, towards this alien worship, then he turns from the entire path which the Almighty has commanded us. And Mikan Omru Kolamere Ba Avodah Zarah Ki Kefir B'Chol HaTorah Kula. Here our sages deduce that whoever believes in a foreign way of worship, he is denying the entire Torah. There are many, many mitzvahs in the Torah where you can deny one, where you might not fulfill one, but you accept the others. This mitzvah, if you deny, if you do not fulfill, then what you are doing is denying and turning away from all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Avodah Zarah and Perek Beis. The Rambam writes as follows. The mitzvah of Avodah Zarah is equal to all of the mitzvahs. As it states, V'sisisku v'leisasu es kol ha-mitzvahs. Olamaretuk shekol ha-meir b'avedis kachovim, whoever admits to Avodah Kachovim, kefir b'chol ha-teira kula, he denies the entire Torah. U'b'chol ha-nevim, and in all of the prophets, u'b'chol mashin yistavu ha-nevim, me'odem latzei fa'olam, and all that the prophets were commanded in from the creation of the first man until the end of the world. B'chol ha-kefir b'avedis kachovim, and whoever denies Avodah Zarah, then he accepts the entire Torah and in all that the prophets were commanded in from the first man until the end of the world. So this is again to show you what prime position this mitzvah plays. Another example we find a little further in the parsha in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Ches. Excuse me, in Pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Where the Kodesh Baruch Hu writes, "V'le'idbak biyotchem mu'uma min acherim." This is referring to the Iran Idachas, which we'll speak about in a few minutes. That after they destroy the city, you should not take anything that belonged to the city. Leman Yoshev Hashem Mecharein Apoy, in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall return from his wrath. V'nosen l'cho rachamim v'dichamcho v'hirbecho kasher nishba l'vasecho. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have compassion on you. So again, the sages darshan, Rashi brings, she calls man shavedis avilim ba'elam harein af ba'elam. As long as there is idolatry in the world, then the anger of Hashem is in the world. Also, we find, for example, that the Rambam brings in Perek Beis, Halacha Hey. Yisrael she'ovar avedis kachovim. A Yisrael, a Jew, that worships strange worships. Harehu kevi kachovim lechol dvorov. Then he has a status of a non-Jew. Ve'eni ki Yisrael she'va avedis she'ish boskilo. And he's not like a Jew who commits the most serious offenses in the Torah, even though they might have the death penalty attached to them. But he's worse. He takes on a halacha of an non-Jew. Mumel avedis kachovim, harehu mumel lechelat chol ha-teira kula. That someone who accepts idolatry, then he is considered someone who has rejected the entire Torah, and he has a status of an akum of a non-Jew. And he says also inclusive in this is apikursim in Israel. Now apikursim and minim. These are atheists. Very closely connected to this Avodah Zarah that we're speaking about, is atheism, even though he doesn't worship idols, but from the fact that in his mind he has not accepted the Almighty. They lose their status as a Jew. And then he says, their tshuva, to do repentance, is very, very difficult. V'hapikursim heimatorim acha machshavas libam u'besichles dvorim. An apikores, that someone who follows the thoughts of his mind or his philosophies, which tell him to reject Hashem and reject the mitzvahs. So therefore he rejects the mitzvahs lahachis. In other words, he rejects the mitzvahs on a philosophical premise. And this is someone who biyod ramo, he says that there are no mitzvahs, or these mitzvahs we don't have to keep. There's nothing wrong with not listening to these mitzvahs. Now, we have many people who do not keep mitzvahs, but not because they reject them philosophically or academically. They don't keep mitzvahs because they're difficult to keep. It's difficult to keep mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are, nobody ever said that mitzvahs are easy to keep. The fact is, the Chazal referred to the mitzvahs as an oil. It's a heavy, heavy burden. It's not easy to keep Shabbos. It's not easy to close one's business on Shabbos or to give up great profit. It's not easy to lend out vast sums of money and not take interest for it. It's not easy to be restricted in what you eat, and so forth and so on. So, there are many, many Jews that various mitzvahs they don't keep. But they don't keep them because of difficulties. This is not what we're speaking about. We're speaking about the individual who does not keep mitzvahs, not because of difficulty. Even easy mitzvahs he doesn't keep. He doesn't keep them because the Gemara calls lahachis. In other words, because in principle he doesn't keep them. That philosophically he is opposed to mitzvahs. This is what is known as apikoros. And this is in the same category as Averus Ora. Because it's another philosophy. They are creating another belief, another religion. And on the Apikoros, it states just like the idolater, he loses his status as a Jew. We also l'saperi mohen u'lehoshiv aleihem shuv klal. And with these type of people, you're not allowed to discuss these issues. You're not allowed to debate with them. Al tikra v'pesach beso. Fact is, this is the Rosho, which we speak about in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's your religion, it's not mine, it's your mitzvahs, they're not mine. So in that it states, don't enter into a discussion. These are not the type of people that you must debate or discuss with, or bring close to Torah. When they give up their philosophies, then is a mitzvah to bring them to Torah. But otherwise not. I recall once I had a friend in the yeshiva, and he was an academic, a very scholarly young man, and he used to read all of these philosophies and so forth. Eventually he left the yeshiva, went to university, and became a philosopher. And he started to leave Torah and mitzvahs. And he had a brother in the yeshiva. So evidently he wanted to know, maybe he wanted to come back to Yiddish Kabbalah. So he wrote his brother, and he asked his brother to ask the Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter that there's a few things he doesn't understand, if he could kindly explain to him. So Rav Gifter told him, no. Not interested in writing to him. Not while he's in the university studying philosophy. When he'll leave the university, then he can ask me all the questions he wants, and I'll answer them. But while he's Beteich HaTumah, he's in the middle of the impurities, of the influences of Aveda Zora and Apikursus, he says there's no point in writing, there's no point in discussing. This is the Rambam. Umachshove shel apikores la'aveiros kekovin. The Rambam writes. Because the mind of the apikores is an idolatrous mind. That's aveiros kekovin. Unfortunately, today, people think I mean, it's not idolatry. That's something that existed in Avram's time. Avram's father manufactured idols, but today in the modern world we don't have idols. We're not heathens. So this is all irrelevant, so we don't pay much attention to this. This is not true at all, as we'll see. You should know that Machshavos, the Chazal, said it's a mitzvah to be makariv every Jew possible. That was midos shel Aaron HaKohen. Ayhei sholem v'reidim shol. Love peace and pursue peace. Ayvas abriyos makariv in the Torah. You should love the people and bring them close to Torah. There was no greater person than Avraham that did that. Yet the same sages told us. The Rosh Mo Aver Aziz Lochem, Rosh Mo Eimer, Hakeyashinov. Don't discuss things with him. Close his mouth. Why? Because Makshov Keris Labiris. Because the thoughts of the atheist is for Aver Zora. Let him first free himself from that. Then there can be a discussion. Now, a little further explanation into this mitzvah, how it differs from all other mitzvahs, or at least many other mitzvahs, is there are many, many mitzvahs that are related to the physical man. For example, what he should eat and what he should drink. And therefore, there are many avodas that are related to the physical man. People we mentioned, they'll eat things that they're not supposed to, they'll drink things that they're not supposed to. They'll take things that do not belong to them, because they want material acquisitions. They'll steal. They'll engage themselves in forbidden unions. Now these are aveiros shebeguf. These are transgressions that have to do with physical men. Then there's another level. Transgressions which have to do with the emotions of men, with the heart of men. Both mitzvahs and transgressions. For example, jealousy, anger, hatred, revenge, and all of these emotions lead to other averes. Averes ordered apikursus. What we're speaking about, this has to do with the mentality of man. How does a person become an atheist? This is through thought. How does a person become an idol worshipper? This is through thought. Therefore, in this area we're dealing with man, with the greatest aspect of man, the crown of man. See, this is an aveda shebeseichel. And it's contrary, as we mentioned, it's antithesis to emunah b'Hashem. The greatest level of man is his emunah, his belief in Hashem. The greatest mitzvah that a person can do is Talmud Torah, study about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the antithesis to this is the aveda zora, the idolatry, and the apokursus. See, so here we're dealing with the intellect of man. This is why that we find that in order to transgress this mitzvah in its fullness, it's speaking about someone who went and he served other gods. But we find also that the transgression itself is with machshava b'levad. That even if a person believes in other gods and he doesn't do anything, or he doesn't believe in Hashem, also he is classified as one who transgresses this mitzvah. Let me quote what the Rambam says, his description of this idolatry. It's at the beginning of Perek Beis. Ikar hatzivui b'aveidus kacholim. The primary commandment in regards to idolatry. Incidentally, the word Avedis Kehovim actually means the serving of stars. The Rambam writes in the Perek Aleph of Avedis Ora that it was called that because the early idolaters started by worshipping the plants, the planets, and the sun and the stars. The main command is that we shall not worship one of any of the creations which are in the world. Le'malach, not an angel. Now, when it doesn't necessarily mean, as you see, idols, or it doesn't have to be the sun either. Even an idol, even an angel, if a person would worship an angel. Or, for example, if a person would worship a devil, Le'gadol, or a person who would worship a planet, or a star, or Echon Me'arba Yesodus, or any part of the physical world. If he worships the earth, if he worships the sea, if he worships fire, any creation in the world that a person will go and believe in, he'll believe that it has a force, an independent force, or he'll serve it. Now, what about if a person pays tribute and he serves some of these forces that we have in the world, but he believes in Hashem? Many times you hear people say that they believe in Hashem, except they'll serve these other forces. Now, that's also a way to sort. Even though that the one who is serving, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the world. In his previous Perek chapter, he explained that the original idolaters didn't jump all of a sudden from the belief in Hashem to go worship idols. It was a slow period of escalation, of evolution. First they served Hashem. Then when they saw all of the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, so they said that it's a tribute to serve those things because they're an honor to Hashem. And slowly it moved and it escalated, it evolved until they forgot about Hashem. So he says, this is the original Avedis Ora, that even if a person believes in Hashem, but if he pays tribute to some of these other forces in a way which we are not commanded to do, then this is Avedis Ora. Ariz Avedis Chovim. This is what the Torah said, lest you look up to the heavens and you'll see the sun and you'll see the star and so forth, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them dominion in the world. You'll say that these are the forces that rule the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them this force, and we see that they live. See, the Rambam brings out here something interesting, that the celestial beings have a power which the earthly beings do not have, and that is they don't age. We once mentioned this in a shir from the Maral. They don't age. Everything on the earth gets old and it disintegrates and it wastes away. The celestial beings do not. We do not find that. And if a person is alert and he sees that, so he says that this is something which is royally shtachav aslehem ulamdim. This is something which is befitting to serve to. So this is what it states in the Torah, Pen yifte levavchem, you shouldn't go astray after them. And this is the Avedis Ora. So therefore this means to worship, to believe in, or to worship any force in the world in a way which we are not commanded to do so. Whether you believe in Hashem or whether you don't believe in Hashem. We mentioned that we find that the Torah was more stringent when it came to mitzvah than any other mitzvahs. Now several of these aspects are mentioned in the Sedra, in our Sedra. Let's mention some of them. One is that in our Sedra, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chof Tes and Lamed, it states, Ki yachris Hashem elokecha sagoyim asher atav osham al reshes esham yipanecha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he cuts down the nations who live in Eretz Yisrael in order that you can come and you can take the land, Yerashtei Som Yishavte Ba'atzon, and you will settle in the land. Guard yourselves carefully. Pentinoki shacharehem, lest you become tripped up by them. Acharei hishomdom miponecho. Upentidresh leleim lor. Guard yourself carefully, lest you will say, let's see the way they worship their gods. Echo yabdu agoyim ha'ele eseleihem. Ve'esekein gamoni. If a person will say, we've come to a new land, and there are new people, different types of people, and they have different, ways of worship, different religions. Let us go see the way they. Now, this was a very innocent request. Let us go see the people of the land. Let us visit their ways of worship. Let us visit their places of worship. Let's go have dialogue with their heads of their religious heads. Let us go see what they have written. Let us go study their philosophies. Now, this was an innocent request. Why should we do that? The Klal Yisrael were not interested in giving up their religion. It'll be a broadening experience. The fact is, maybe we'll even learn more about Yiddishkeit this way. Right? We'll learn to appreciate Yiddishkeit more. This was the request of the people. So then a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Yishom Alecho, guard yourselves. Pentinokesh achareyam acharei shomdom miponecho. Pentidresh leleim lemor. Guard yourselves from saying, let us go see echo yavdu agoyim ha'ele es aleihem. Let us go see how they worship their gods. Why? Because v'asekein gam oni. Because the end of it will be, is then you'll say, I'm also going to worship this way. Now this has a ramification in halacha. The Rambam brings in Perek Beis, halacha Beis, Sforim Rabim Chovru Evdi Kechovrim Bavedoso. He says there are innumerable books which have been written by the idolaters and their religions. Hey, Achikra Vedoso, Umama Seo Mishpotecho. How should you worship? What are the rules and the regulations? Tzivona Kodesh Bohu Shalei Likreis Ba'esens Forim Klau. The commandment of Hashem is that we are not allowed to read this Forim. Velena Harabo. We're not allowed to think about this Forim. Not allowed to think or to read or to discuss any one of these principles. Afil listakled b'dmusat sura osur. Even to look at what they worship, their idols, we are not allowed to. As it states, al tifnu el elilim, do not turn towards their gods. Ubinyan azeh ne'amar ufentidresh leilam le'mor echo yavdu. And then he brings the posuk from our sedra, that you should not ask how they worship, even though your motive is not to worship, because this will cause a person eventually to follow, as it states further in the pasuk, "Ve'esekein gam oni." Now, in this vein, the Rambam follows by telling us that anyone who becomes a part of serving the other gods, and he actually does so, alright, that's the Eber Avedisora, that's the one who actually serves other gods. But he says Le Avedis Kekomim Bilvad Hu Shoa Salaf Ne Sacharel. But also inclusive of this is that not only when it comes to actual worship of these gods are we commanded that we should not think about it. Any philosophy, any school of thought, which can cause a person to reject the main principles of Teres Hashem, then this is inclusive in this prohibition. Kol makshov, שוגדם לילה אודם לאקו איקור מאיקרי התורה מוזורין אנו שלילה עלי סליבנו. We are commanded not to give thought to it. ולנסיך דייתנו לכך. Not to concentrate in it. ונח שבנים שכח הירי הלב. Why? Because דייתה של אודם סור. Because man's intellect, as we mentioned, this has to do with the intellect. Man's intellect is limited. And not all individuals are capable of weighing everything and coming to the truth. If a person was a giant, so then he could look into all of the books of philosophy. Avraham did that. Avraham, when he was brought up, so he had no teacher, the Rambam writes. And they had written books. And he searched all the books, and he weighed them all, and he saw that they were all nonsense. But not everyone is capable of doing that. ולא כל הדשא לחיינו להשיג אמס על בוריו. ומשה כל עוד המחשב ליבו נמצא מחריב הסלם לפי קצה דייתא. And if everyone is going to start to study all of the different ways, and then he's going to weigh them to find out which is the right way and which is the wrong way, he says then he'll destroy the world. מחריב הסלם. Sometimes he'll try out one way, then he'll try out another way, then he'll try out the Torah's way. He'll ask himself, Malal Malal, what is above, what is below, what is inside, what is outside. Sometime he'll listen to this prophet and to their prophet. And the end is, he'll end up the Deminus. He'll end up as an Apikeus. And that's why the Torah says, Le Shasura Achrei Levavchem Vachrei Nechem. So, this is an area where we find that the Torah was very stringent. Another example, we have another pasuk in the Sedra, which is a new base, pasuk base, and it states, "Abe te abdu nes kol mekemes asher avdu somagoyim." When you come into Eretz Yisrael, then you have to destroy all of the places which the nations served idolatry. All of their gods, ale horim aromim, ale gveis saches koletz ranon, be it in the mountains, in the hills, nitatztem es misbecheisom, you shall break their altars, you shall break their monuments, you shall burn the trees which they set aside for idolatry, and so forth. Totally eradicate this. Now this mitzvah, abet to abet, this mitzvah, the Sifri says, and the Rambam brings it in, at the beginning of Perek Zayin, mitzvahs esei hu la'abed avedis kochovim v'misham sheho v'chol anaseh bishvilo. Not only are we commanded not to worship strange gods, but there is also a positive commandment to destroy all idolatry, or anything that was used to serve idolatry, we have to destroy, as it states, abed to abdun es kol ha'makemes. Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah l'edef achareho. In Eretz Yisrael, then the mitzvah is to go and destroy. Naturally, this is when Eretz Yisrael is under our total control. Then it's a mitzvah to go and to destroy. Achenave nevod esei mikol atzeinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu was so much against this that in Eretz Yisrael we're not allowed to have any idolatry whatsoever. And the mitzvah is to totally destroy it until Eretz Yisrael is pure from all of this. Today, you have this discussions. We have to give people, there's freedom of religion. And freedom of religion is one of the basic tenets of the world. This is not the way the Torah thinks. The Torah did not allow freedom of religion. This is a command on the entire world. And in Eretz Yisrael, when we are in total control, then the command is that there must not be any idolatry whatsoever in Eretz Yisrael. B'chutz l'oretz einon metzugin lidei fachareho. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there were not commanded, the nations of the world are commanded not to have avodas zarah. But we are not commanded to go to all of the lands of the world to destroy it. But any land outside of Eretz Yisrael that we capture, then we cannot hold that land unless we destroy the idolatry. See, so this is the mitzvah of Avitz Abdi. But land in Eretz Yisrael, there, that has to be pure. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, the non-Jew is commanded. He's not allowed to have idolatry. But if he has, we are not commanded to go to all the corners of the world to destroy it. But any land outside of Eretz Yisrael which we capture and we occupy, then we must purify it from the idolatry. Another aspect that we see how stringent the Torah was, and that is in the parsha. In our parsha, in Yud Gimel Beis, we have a parsha which is called Nami Sheker. It states, Ki Yokim Bikir Vuchon Novi Yochelim Chaleim. If there shall rise up amongst you a prophet or someone who had a dream, V'nosen Elecho Oso Mephis, and he will give you some type of sign or miracle to prove that he's bona fide. And he proves his words with these miraculous acts. And he says that I have been told that we should go and serve other gods or do other things. You're not allowed to listen to him or to the dreamer. But what about the miracles? He's proven. You can't imagine how many times people come to me with stories they hear. And unfortunately, tragically, not only stories in non-Jews, but in the Jewish world. And not only in the Jewish world, but in the Torah world. Of people who are showing miracles, faith healers, and they were doing all kinds of supernatural things, and it's been proven and proven and proven that what they're doing is true. The Torah tells us. The Torah tells us to listen to Hashem and His mitzvahs. You don't need miracles. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't say that you should listen to Him and to His mitzvahs because He does miracles. That we're obligated to listen without miracles. So that we don't need miracles for. So we don't need all of these miracle makers, be it from the non-Jewish camp or the Jewish camp or the Torah camp. We don't need miracle makers. If the person is telling you something that Hashem told you not to do, and that miracle makers won't help, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if someone comes and shows you miracles and the miracles are true, Lo Sishmael, and he tells you to go and serve idolatry or do things which I have not commanded, don't listen to him. So Rashi asks, if that's the case, that you shouldn't listen to him, which means he's a Novi Sheker, he's a false prophet. If that's the case, so then why is he capable of doing miracles? Alright, so generally these miracles are fakes. Right? They're not true. But then Rashi brings from the Chazal, but what happens if we tested it and tested it and we find out it is true? He's doing supernatural things. So therefore what? Where in the Torah does it say that we believe in someone because he does supernatural things? So then Rashi says, if that's the case, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him the power to do supernatural things? So the Torah tells us, Ki manasa Hashem alekeichem eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's testing you. To know if you are faithful or not faithful. Because Baruch Hu didn't choose Klal Yisrael to be faithful because they have a great admiration for miracles. That all the nations of the world do. Because Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael because they are bound to Him and they are one with Him and they are inseparable. So what does miracles have to do? All the time, people are coming to me. They're telling me they read this, they read that. And they're doing miracles. And should we go to them? A prophet that has tried to mislead you. Now, these halachos which we're quoting tonight are many. As I mentioned, there's an entire mesechta. So what we're mentioning this evening is very superficial. Just to get a little insight, a little inkling into what it's all about. But the Rambam brings the halachas on this in Perikei. And we'll quote a few. Perikei, halacha vov. There are various different types of prophets. There's one prophet who will come and he'll prophesy in the name of some type of idol or some type of foreign god. He'll say that a foreign god, some other god that we don't know, has come to me. He says, Avedis Kokovim Omrali, this certain star told me, this certain moon told me, or whatever it might be, or this certain person told me, that he said we must go and do this, or we must not do this. Now, one aspect of this deen is what happens if what he tells you is what the Torah tells you. He tells you what the Torah tells you. Afilu kivin alocha letame satom letare satom. He happens to tell you that this person, who's a god, or this entity that's a god, has instructed me to tell you this and this, and it's what the Torah tells us. You put him to death. If there's asra and witnesses, you put him to death. And this is what the Torah says, Asher yidabu b'shem alim acherim, umesa novi ahu. Because he's prophesizing in the name of other gods. Finished. That's that halacha. Also larech din v'tshuva. And you're not allowed to have debates with this person. Ain't shailing me, man, Esau Mephis, and you're not allowed to ask him for miracles or for signs. Vimosami Atzmai, but what happens if we don't ask him, but he demonstrates on his own, and he splits the Red Sea for us? Ain't mashkichin alof. You ignore it. I can't understand today, these are such basic halachos. These are halachos that are 1,000 times more important than Treifas and the Velas, as we mentioned. This is the Iker. Yet today you have even frumer people that come with these questions. You ignore it. This is the halacha. Ein mashkichin alof. You ignore it. Ve'ein maharin bo. And you don't give a second thought to it. Mechol ha'machashiv ba'esi shalei shema emesein. And whoever will think in these signs that they're true, ever b'leisas. He's transgressed the negative commandment. As it states, le'sish ba'al divrei hanavi yahu. You're not allowed to listen to this prophet. If he's a prophet of Hashem, well, that's a different story. If he comes and he tells you that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told me, and what he says is not against the Torah, that's something else. But then we don't need miracles for that. If it's not against the Torah, if it's written in the Torah. But even if he prophesies even what's in the Torah, but he prophesies it in the name of another god or another force or another person, then you put him to death, and you're not allowed to debate with him or discuss with him. You don't ask for miracles, and if he shows you miracles, you walk away from it. Another type is a Novi Sheker. See, that's someone who gives a false prophecy. You put him to death also, from the Posuk. That's someone who's going to prophesy something will come and it doesn't come. Now, then we have others that prophesize. We have the different aspects of this. Now, what happens if this person is a very important person? And we don't want to, he's very respectable in Klal Yisrael. And therefore we don't want to, we must have derech eretz for him. It says, Kol ha-menei atzmei me'harigis novi ha-sheker b'pnei ma'ilosoi. Whoever refrains from executing the deen by a false prophet because he's such a great person, because he's a prophet, then he transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, Leisogur Mimeno, and so forth. So this is the deen of Novi Sheker, or in the various aspects. Now we have another parsha in the Torah. And this is called Mesis Umediach. In Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin states ki yisischa achicha venimecha. Also something very important. When your brother will come to you, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife, or your friend. Now the Torah is referring to the closest ones first, because they are the ones who are most intimate, and therefore we're talking usually someone comes in secrecy. If someone comes secretly to you, doesn't have to be, but this is usually the case, and they come to you and say, look, I've met this person, and this person is a guru, and he does miracles, and he can teach you how to meditate, you know, the whole business, and it changed your life. And right away you say to him, nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. And he gives you a case history on it. He opens up a file and so forth and so on. He says, let's go hear him and let's go do what he says. Alright? And they say, let us go follow other gods, other gods that you didn't know and your fathers didn't know about. From the gods of the nations which are living around us, from those who are close by, or those who are on the other side of the world, in the Far East. From one end of the land to the other. You're not allowed to listen to him, you're not allowed to show love to this person, even though he's from your immediate family and he's very close to you and you have love for him. You're not allowed to be merachim on him, you're not allowed to cover up for him. It's a mitzvah to bring this person to court where there's a death penalty for him. See, this is how severe the Torah is in these mitzvahs. And you are the first one, the mitzvah is on you, if he's convicted, for you to be the first one to strike him. You must stone him. Because he had tried to make you go astray from God, your God, who has taken you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And this should be done publicly, in order that all of Israel should hear and see and fear, in order not to continue to do these types of things. Again, this is a whole all kind of sugis ha-gemores and Masechta Sanhedrin, but let's just quote a few Rambams on it. This is at the beginning of Perek Hei. The Rambam brings Hamesis Echod Mi'Yisrael Benish Benisha, someone who tries to persuade another person to go and serve idolatry, another Jew. Then he's guilty of the death penalty. He's liable for the death penalty. Even if neither of them did go and serve. We're not only speaking where they actually went and served. But let's say neither of them went and served. He just tried to persuade someone to go and serve, but neither went and served. Then they are both liable. Then he's liable. The Mesis is liable for the death penalty. Because he tried to direct the other person to have strange gods. Whether the Mesis is a hedget, whether the one who tried to persuade this person is just an average person, or he's a prophet, makes no difference. Whether the Musus, and whether the one he tried to persuade is a man or a woman, whatever it is, he's liable of the death penalty. Then, in Hamesis Sorech Hasro, this is in the few places in the Torah where we give out severe penalties without warning. There is no halacha that you must warn this person. If he does it, and it can be proven, and he's convicted, and he's guilty, he's liable for the death penalty. Not only that, but the halacha is that it's a mitzvah to trap such a person. Even though by no other Averis do we do this. For example, if this person comes to you and he says, come with me and I'll show you some good religion and so forth. See? And you tell him you're not interested. Now this, here we're dealing, if it fulfills all of the requirements, this is a mesis. But how are you going to prove it? You need two witnesses. So even though we never try to set someone up when it comes to other Avedas, we don't try to, it's not allowed to try to set someone up. It's a mitzvah to set this person up. What do you do? So it says the mitzvah is, you tell him, you tell this person, look, he says, I have some friends who might be interested. So come and talk to us about it. And meanwhile, you have two people in another room who are listening and watching, so they can testify. Ketzad machminin lei hamusis, ketzad machminin lei hamusis maybe shnayim. The person brings two people, umaminim amokim eifel, and he puts them in a dark place where they won't be seen, kadeshi yiru amesim, in order that they can see the mesis. When the mesis, the one who's trying to convince you, he comes, v'yushmu dvorev, and they'll hear him. He won't see them. Now, then when he comes, you ask him, tell me now, what did you want me, or what did you want us to do? And he says what he wanted you to do. And then you answer him, how is it possible for us to leave the God of our fathers and we should go worship sticks and stones? This is what you must answer him. Then, if the Macy's, when he hears that, he says, all right, forget about it. Or he's silent, well, then it's all right. But if he says, no, he says, this is our obligation. This is better for us. Then the two witnesses who have concealed themselves, that's all they need. And they take this person to Bezdin and they testify in court, and he gets the death penalty. You're not allowed to love this individual. You're not allowed to be merachib on him. You're not allowed to say that you are causing the spilling of innocent blood. You're not allowed to lamed lavzchus. You're not allowed, even by everyone, you have to look for a good point to destroy the testimony of the witnesses. Here you're not allowed to. This is the deen of Macy's and Mediach. We have another parsha, Irani Dechas. What happens if you have, this is brought a little further. This is brought in Vorim Yud Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel, Kisishma Ba'achas Orecho, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nesin Lechol Hashevashom. If you hear that in one of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, Yotzu Anoshim B'nei Vilal B'kebecho, this is called the Macy's Umediach. This is, people came and they enticed. Macy's Hasosos from the word enticed. They enticed not only an individual, but they enticed a majority of a city to go and serve idolatry. Neil Khanav de Lima Hairima Shile Yadatem. Then the Rashta v'chakata v'shalta heitev. Then the Bezdin has to go to the city. It's speaking where the majority of the entire city worshipped. And they carefully look into it. They're making a very, very careful investigation. Imemus nochan adover. If it's true, nesus ha'atev azesh b'kirbecho, then hake sake. The punishment is an enormous punishment. We are commanded to destroy the entire city with all of its inhabitants. Speaking about a Jewish city. All of its inhabitants, to destroy all of the belongings. We collect everything that's there, put it in the center of the city, and we burn it all. And it shall remain a mound forever, and we're not allowed ever to rebuild the city. This is the only place where we find such a law. This is called Iran Midachas. So these are a few of the stringent, extraordinary halachos that we have in regards to this mitzvah. Now, people shouldn't think, or people should think, we must realize that when it comes to these, all of these strange servings, we must realize that there's nothing in it. For example, by the Navi Sheker, that by the false prophet, it states ki diba sora al Hashem. It's called sora. He spoke sora against Hashem. What does sora mean? So Rashi says sora is davar hamusa min ha'olam shelo hayo v'lo nivra, something which never existed. We must realize, and that's a great mitzvah, we have to continually impress our minds and our souls that in all of this it is a total nothingness and nonsense. They dibesoro, they are speaking of things that's husar mina olam, that's removed from the world, it's not a metzius, it's not there. This is why the serving idolatry, the sages refer to as zivche mesim. It is the sacrifices of the dead. What does that mean? We mentioned that this has to do with the ikar. This is the root of the tree. A tree grows, a tree is alive. Why is a tree alive? Because it has a root where it takes its life from. The root of the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we come and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're coming to the Metzias HaChaim, we're coming to life. There is no greater life and no more intensive life than when you become close to Hashem, because He is the source of all life to the world. That's why it states, V'atem advekim v'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem ayom. Those who are close to Hashem are alive. When you further yourself, you distance yourself from Hashem, or you're worshipping strange gods and strange forces, then what you're doing is you're bringing yourself close to death, because they have no life in themselves. They have no roots. Therefore, the sacrifices are called the sacrifices of the dead. It's very interesting in the Pasha of Por Aduma. Por Aduma is this red heifer that was brought, and it was shechted, and then it was burnt, and then it was, the ashes were taken and mixed with water, maim chaim, with water which would come right from a spring, and it was sprinkled on a person who became tomei, impure, from coming into contact with a dead person. This was the Por Aduma. At the same time, the Chazal tell us that the Por Aduma, the red heifer, was a chatosi, was a sin offering. Why? Because it brought atonement on the Egel Azov, on the golden calf. So the Maral asks a good question. He asks this in Gurai in Parshas Chukas. You have something here that is serving two purposes that seem totally unrelated to each other. Here you have this red heifer that's serving the purpose where it's metaira mitumas mesim. It purifies a person from coming into contact with something that was dead. And at the same time, it became an atonement for the serving of the golden calf. It's a thing that's serving two purposes that seem totally unrelated. So he answers with this answer. He says, no, they are totally related. He says, because the serving of the golden calf, idolatry, that's zivche meisim, that is the sacrifices to the dead. Because these other gods are all dead. Eitzim ba'avonim. They are sticks and stones. Their only life that they have is the life which they can attribute to their link with Hashem, who is the source of life for the world. But here they're representing something which has no link with Hashem, not only that, but which is an antithesis to Hashem. So they're totally dead. Therefore, anything sacrifice you bring to them is zivchei mesim, the sacrifices of the dead. When someone serves idolatry, so it rubs off on him. He becomes like he who he has served. That's what the Chazal tell us. They become like the one they've served. He serves Hashem, lahavdil, he becomes alive. He serves them, he becomes dead. And if the red heifer could be an atonement on that, so it can be an atonement also for someone who becomes impure by touching someone who's dead. So now the red heifer is serving two purposes which are entirely related. But this is a person must in make indelible upon himself. When it comes to all of these philosophies, and all of these religions, and all of these cults, or whatever they might be, those that are close and those that are far. It's Sora, Husar Mina Olam, it's not here. He is following a nothingness, a fantasy. Now, people usually go after these things because they think there's grace in Glicken. You know, it has a great promise in it. He tells us in this Pasuk that he says, when the Macy's comes to you and he says, let's go serve Hakrevi Melecho, let's go serve the gods of the people, whether they're close by or far away. So he says, what does the Torah mean to tell you? So Rashi says as follows. Lama pora krevim rechaikim. This is in Pasuk Ches, Perek Yud Gimel. Elekach omar akosu. Mitivin shal krevim ato lo mativin shal rechaikim. From the gods which are close to you, you will learn the value of those gods which are far from you. Why? Why does it become that it's so, you find that a popularity comes from the far east, eastern religions? Why do they become popular? They become popular because, as a Yiddish saying, from Weitens, Alamol, Punta is good. Something which is far away looks good. Why? Because something which is close by, you can't mislead yourself with. Something that's close by, you can't mislead yourself. You can look and inspect it. You see it's nothing. But something that's coming from thousands of miles, oh, there you can mislead yourself. There you can tell yourself. I accept a whole Megillah, a whole story of it. So here, the Torah is makish them together, joins them together. The krevim and the rechekim, just like the gods that are near you, you know are worthless and nonsense. So you should know that's the same thing with the gods that are far away from you. The ones who are 10,000 miles away are no better. Mitivon shel krevim atalom ativon shel rechekim. Kishem she'ein mamish bekrevim kachein mamish berechekim. Just like the ones that are close to you are worthless and nonsense, the ones who are far away are the same thing. It's no better. The ones in India or China or Japan are no better. Then something very important. Very important. And that's brought in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Yud Beis Lamed Aleph. Many times you hear people talking, and the great tragedy is when they're from our own Jewish people. They talk of the wonders, the wonderful ways of other people. The wonderful ways of other people. So in Lamed Aleph it states, Le'isase kein l'Hashem Elokecho. All of these ways don't do Hashem Elokecho. Ki kol ta'avas Hashem asher sonu, sone, osu le'lehiha. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells you, all of the abominations, the worst abominations in the world, which I hate, this is what Hashem says, this is what they do to their, for their gods. Ki gam es b'neihem ves b'neiseihem yisru v'eish le'lehiyam. The worst abominations, which I eat and I tell you not to do amongst yourselves, this is how they serve their gods. He says, even their children, their sons and daughters, they will burn to their gods. And Rashi brings, what does it mean, gam? Gam comes to include also, l'rabes, esavaseim v'maseim. They will even burn their own fathers and mothers to their gods. Omer b'kiva, ani ro'isi nochri shekofosei lo'oviv lifnei kal b'evachole. He says, Rabbi Kiva testified, I once saw a non-Jew in his idolatrous practices that he tied up his own father who he had eaten by the dogs. Now, many times we come and we start talking about the wonderful ancient civilizations, see, of here, of there, Africa, of Far East, Japan, see, of China, of India, of Ishmael, of the Arab countries. And you should know this is what Harein Af, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets so angry. If it was something from a Japanese was talking about a Chinaman talking about a Japanese, that's one thing. But a Jew, Taryag mitzvahs that we were given were commanded not even to kill an animal. An animal were commanded not to kill, unless it's for a legitimate purpose. Tzar bal chayim is midaraisa. In the Torah, we're not allowed to cause pain to an animal. And this is prevalent by those who think that what Rabbi Akiva is saying is something which didn't exist, or does not exist now. People talk, ancient times. Wife burning is a common practice today in India. There was not long ago, 6 months ago, there was a big article on this in one of the major magazines. And even though today it's illegal, but the courts closed their eyes to it. It was only a few years ago, I'm talking a few years ago, in the 1900s, that officially they illegalized in China daughter burning. That if someone would have a daughter, it was the common practice, you put her to death. They finally wrote a law where it's illegal. Suicide is the most admirable thing in Japan. Suicide. Harry Carey. This is very, very admirable. These are from the most. It is not coincidental that martial arts of the world come from these countries. Blood and death means nothing there. Yes, if you want to read fairy tales, all right. But if you want to study, this is how it is all over the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking, he wasn't speaking for thousands of years ago. I mean, today the wars that go on there, thousands and thousands, millions and millions. I mean, what happens you have here in the Persian Gulf, in Kuwait? This is amongst brothers. What do they do to each other? This is brothers already. What do they do to each other? They killed by the millions. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this was in the name of religion. This was in the name of religion what it was, that last war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kol te'avas Hashem asher sonu, sonei, what I hate. They do it in the name of their gods. We don't have time to go into detail, but this has filled history books of the world. So a person has to open his eyes of what the great Chil Hashem is when a Jew starts talking like this. The world is full today of these things. Many times now we live in a modern world. In the Far East you have India, China, Japan, which between these countries they might have a majority population of the entire world, including the small countries around. You have Russia. Russia has a governmental policy of apikursus and minus, atheism. One of the largest populations of the world. You have the Ishmaeli, all of the Arab countries, Persian Gulf countries. You have Black Africa. If you start adding up people, some of these countries we mentioned, single country has 400 million people, 500 million people, or close to a billion people, some of these countries. Then there's the West. Now the West is supposed to be enlightened. They've left all of this. This is something also that needs great study. But there's another aspect in this discussion, and that is, which has taken over the West, and that's referred to as the so-called liberal movement or progressive movement. And that's taken over the West. Now, a lot of times people ask me, why does it seem I'm so much against liberals? What have I got against liberals? I'm referring to a specific type of liberals. I'm referring to the liberal movement which has taken hold in the last so-called 50 years, 40 years, which is the apikursus and the minus that the Gemara and the Rambam is referring to. And why do I say that? There were many traditions which were accepted by the Western world as norms in the living of civilized people. Now, these so-called traditions or norms didn't create themselves. But these were accepted. These were accepted as legal, social, moral norms of the Western civilized world. Where did these norms come from? So if you'll study law, and if you'll study sociology, they give a name to these norms. They call them the Christian Judo concepts. This is what the name is that they give to them. And what do they mean by them? They mean that they were brought to the Western world because of Christianity, and they were taken from the Old Testament, Christian Judo concepts. We call them the Zayin Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. And these norms were incorporated in the legal systems of the Western world. The liberal movement that I'm referring to, one by one, has destroyed these norms. Which doesn't mean that they liberalize something, but it means that they have kafir b'hakodesh baruch hu. They have denied the mitzvahs of Hashem and his mitzvahs to the world. For example, homosexuality. Homosexuality was always considered illegal. In law, it was illegal. Where did it come from? This is where it came from. Now they've succeeded in wiping that off the books. On what basis? They say, what right do you have to dictate to an individual what he should do and what he shouldn't do? All right, you have a right to set up laws which pertain to people living together in a society where one harms the other. But if there's consent between two people, this is not within the court's jurisdiction. It has to do with morals. It has to do with church. And the separation between the court and the church. And church has no jurisdiction over us. What do you mean church has no jurisdiction? So why did it have jurisdiction before? Why all of a sudden in the 1940s or the 1950s or the 1960s did all of a sudden people wake up? Because till then they accepted what they called the Christian Judo norms. They accepted the Zayin Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. They accepted that there was a God and there's jurisdiction over a man. And the liberals have destroyed that. They have kicked up enough dust to get it wiped off the law books. All right. So they brought AIDS to the world. Same with adultery. Adultery was an illegal act. Adultery was illegal. Where did it come from? The same basis. It comes from the Torah. These are mitzvahs that even a non-Jew is commanded in. Incest was illegal. Well, the liberals, the professors and the academics and the sociologists and the progressives, they managed to place their poison into society and it was wiped off the books. So today you have a social system that we live in that has no morals, has no marriage, ripe with divorce, illegitimacy, anything else that goes with it. Abortion. Abortion was always considered illegal. It was considered a tzicha. Why? Because this is what it says in the Torah. Harig odem ba'odem. A ben neyach is metzuvah an harig is uber. That the people are commanded on the killing of an embryo. Now people wanted to know. This is not in the jurisdiction of the courts. It has to do with morals of the church, and I don't believe in the church. has to do with the Bible, and he doesn't believe in the Bible. So they wiped it off. Tragically, we should be concerned more with the morals of our own people than the morals of other nations. And what we're speaking about here, the liberal movement, tragically, is not only in the nations, but Eretz Yisrael is from the worst in these. It's from the worst. Instead of being a light to the world, it become a darkness. Actually, today, on the news from the United States, it came that in the first time in history, it says President Bush, who's from the strong anti-abortionists, is taking a federal court to a federal judge to court on an abortion issue. And it says it's the first time in history that a president is intervening with another federal court. That they're trying to do something against it because it's become so out of hand. But here's what we're speaking about. You have law and order. We live in a society, I'm talking about the West now. We live in a society that knows of no law and order. I remember when I was young, any street you could walk down at any time of day or night. The middle of the night you could walk down the street. All right, you wouldn't go where there was a lot of drunkards. But an average street, you could walk in the middle of the night alone. You wanted to sit on a park bench the whole night, it's color covered. Nobody would bother you. See? You wanted to sleep on a park bench, you could. Nobody would bother you. There was a time when there was law and order. Today the world's forgotten about it. Today we live in an era of weak government, weak law and order, and there's murder, there's theft, there's rape, there's drugs, there's violence, breakdown of law and order. We take it that this is the way of life. It's also we have the liberals to thank for. B'nei Nayach are commanded on murder. They're commanded on theft. They're commanded on dinim. One of the mitzvahs of the B'nai Nayach is to set up a court system, to set up governments, to see that there's civilized behavior in society. Some say this is the reason why Shimon and Levi went and destroyed the whole town of Shechem, because their sister was abducted and the city didn't do anything. And therefore, Nischai v'Kulam, they were all guilty. Now, these were the traditions, the traditional norms, that come from, it seeped down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the B'nai Nayach to the West. Now the liberals changed that. They came along and they said, you're hampering the freedom of the individual. Individual has to have freedom, liberty. Freedom of the press, so the press can say whatever they want. So if a policeman tries to make arrest, the press will make sure that he'll never make it. And freedom of speech, you can say whatever you want. And freedom of criminal rights, heaven forbid. The Torah tells us that a man is accountable for his deeds. He does a mitzvah, he gets reward. He does an avera, you must punish him. What happened to corporal punishment? What happened to capital punishment? Capital punishment is too uncivilized for our world, but it was civilized enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened to it? Torah states a man kills, you put him to death. Then they'll tell you, they'll say, nah, that has nothing to do with it. They'll say it's not the court systems, it's not the police, it's not the punishment. They'll tell us that we're not rehabilitating the criminal enough. We have to work on rehabilitation more. This is the problem. We have to get more sociologists in the prisons, and we have to get more academics involved and so forth. I have a story that I'd like to conclude with that appeared this week in the Reader's Digest. It's about a black policeman whose name is Reuben Greenberg. Actually, the story said that he became a Jew. A black policeman in America. This is made, it made the Reader's Digest. The Reader's Digest sells millions of copies all over the world. It says the police chief who took back the streets He's the police chief of Charleston, South Carolina. That's a major city in America. Crime is rampant in the United States, like it's rampant in South Africa, like it's rampant all over the West, in Europe and every other place. All types of crime, be it drugs, be it murder, be it rape, and so forth. Charleston, South Carolina, that had one of the worst criminal records in the United States, today has become a model city, to the point where every city in America wants to get this black person to become the chief of police. It has become a model city. And who's responsible? This individual. What's his formula? Greenberg's view of his job is uncomplicated. Criminals should go to jail. No probation, no parole. Rehabilitation, he declares, is nonsense. This is his policy. They'll tell you it doesn't work. Meanwhile, it is working. When Greenberg came to Charleston in 1982, drug dealers, muggers, and rapists controlled many of the streets. Gunfights broke out in broad daylight. Criminals even assaulted uniformed police officers. It became so bad that eventually the chief of police himself committed suicide from depression. This is how bad the situation became. Now, this Greenberg was a student at Berkeley. Berkeley is one of the most progressive universities in the United States. A wave of crime was sweeping America, and Greenberg became convinced that progressive thinkers, he assumed the attitudes he had picked up at Berkeley began to wane. Greenberg became convinced that progressive, he puts that in inverted commas, thinkers and academics had turned the criminal justice system on its head. Crooks had become victims, no longer accountable for their actions. Greenberg didn't accept this. We don't have time to read the whole story. I'll just read you a few paragraphs. In 1982, the turf war was raging in Charleston. Muggings, burglaries had reached record levels, and murder and rape rates were nearly twice the national average. Charges of racism and brutality demoralized the police force. Then the veteran police chief committed suicide. The situation grew desperate. A gang of teenagers armed with sticks, rocks, and bottles crashed the gates at a high sports match. Up and down the stands they ran, beating the spectators at random. "Do something," a woman screamed to an officer, but he didn't. The interim chief had ordered his men to practice restraint in arresting blacks. So Greenberg came in, they hired him, and the motto of the city police force became, "Win back the streets." At first he had difficulty. He had difficulty getting the confidence of the white and the blacks. Then the change came with a tragedy. On the night of November 6, 1982, William Capers, the black pastor of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, was standing on the church steps talking to five elderly deacons. Three black teenagers appeared and demanded money. Capers protested and an explosion pierced the night. The minister fell paralyzed with a bullet in his spine. His assailants beat and robbed the deacons and fled. In the coming days, Greenberg lashed out against black-on-black crime while his men canvassed the town for leads. A week later, a woman came forward with her 12-year-old son who had witnessed the shooting. With his information, the police were able to assist the FBI in tracking down the 14-year-old gunman in New York, where he was arrested. It was learned that this same youth had spent a few months in a home for juvenile delinquencies the year before for murder. He was a few months in for murder, and then they let him out, like the Dr. McCordish, like they do all over America and all over the West. Now, corporal punishment, corporal punishment is bad. It's better that the corporal punishment should be administered to the innocent citizen who's laying on the sidewalk. The turnaround, so Greenberg went to work then. The turnaround that followed was nothing short of miraculous. While FBI figures showed that the number of reported crimes increased 6.3% nationwide from 1980 to 89, reported crimes in Charleston fell by 40%. Murder down by 57%, rape down by 31%, car theft down by 30%, burglary down by 53%. These are statistics no other U.S. city the size of Charleston can match. And since 1985, only one shot has been fired by the police.
Nowhere was the change more dramatic than in public housing. Parents used to watch the streets for stray bullets, says resident Sarah Green. Now children play outside without fear. Police repelled attempts by drug dealers to bring the violent crack trade into Charleston. And in the past 5 years, only one murder was reported in its housing projects. Even Councillor Ford, that's someone who was against him, says it's good. Every city could use someone like Reuben Greenberg, says Mayor Riley. That, in fact, was precisely the conclusion. Mobile, Alabama, came to recently. It borrowed the chief for 6 months to try to quell its growing crime problem. In top form, so Greenberg took over for 6 months. In 5 months, crime had fallen by 18%. He's been offered salaries of $100,000 a year, which is a big salary in America, to come to various cities to become their police chief. But he stayed at Charleston. When he gets all of this attention, he says he doesn't know why. He says every tactic I use could have been developed by a high school dropout. In other words, he's not coming. He doesn't come with any philosophies and any sociologies. He's coming simply with what the Torah says. He says, a crook must go to jail. He goes to jail, he stays there until he served his term. No probation, no second chances. He gets a second chance after he served his term. Rehabilitation, he says, that's nonsense. Let's worry more about the citizens. He says, we've made the victims. The victims today are the citizens, and the heroes are the crooks. He says, the academics and the progressives have turned our entire law system upside down. And he says, and they tell us to practice restraint. And that, he said, nonsense. How he does it without firing one shot, that I don't know. But he knows. Now, this is what we mean when we speak of liberals, those who have liberalized norms, accepted norms and taboos that have their sheirish, they have their source. When sociologists attribute it to what they want to attribute it to. But they also admit, they say it's the Christian Judeo norms. In other words, they attribute it, it came through the Old Testament. But if we look a little deeper, what are they doing? They're rejecting the all of HaKadosh Baruch. They say, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell us what to do? If I harm another citizen, right, then the court has a say. But if I'm not harming another citizen, if it's homosexuality or acts of immorality between two consenting majors, or if it's abortion, which has to do something with my own body, so the courts have nothing to say. I HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We reject it. This is why the West looks like it is today. And again, fortunately, we're not only talking about what's outside of Klal Yisrael, we're talking about what's inside of Klal Yisrael. Now, all of this goes into the Parsha of Aveda Zarah, of idolatry. And of Yisrael, those that come from the various branches that come from Aveda Zarah. Therefore, it's a very, very important mitzvah, like the Torah tells us, is more than an important mitzvah. It's a sheirish hakol, it's a source of all. It means that a person has to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the melech. If there's a melech, then there's a matzava, there's one who can command. If there's a command, then we can come to mitzvahs. If in any way we reject this, then all mitzvahs mean nothing. And then you see a world, type of world that we live in. And this was given to Klal Yisrael. This was the mitzvah that Avraham took to give to Klal Yisrael to spread to the entire world. So there's a great deal that we can learn from this parsha in this mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.